This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
And welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Martin Kilcoyne back from that 9:45 sportscast last night that was rocking.
I barely had time to keep up with the game, to write my show, and then I look down and Frank is texting me saying, tune in now for updated Blues highlights. I mean, think about that stretch. It was about a three-minute stretch where there were three goals. The 2-2, the 3-2, the 3-3. And right in that window is about when I walked to the set, got on the air, and delivered those updated, for all your updated Cardinal highlights, flip to Fox at 9:40.
Because you know a lot of people at home are thinking, you know what, I know this game's going down to the wire, it's a big game 3. I just want to check out Martin's highlights real quick.
See what kind of tie he's wearing today. The timing could not, it happens every time. I was walking to the set, and I think they made it 3-2, and I go, oh, great. Are we getting that goal on? Then they said, never mind, it's 3-3. Unbelievable.
I know there are people watching because there's a lot of people who don't care about hockey, but do you ever feel like you could just go out there and just yell a bad word and see if anybody would respond?
When I worked in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, we would say things just to see if anybody was watching.
And I'm people, not wearing pants.
There were bar owners would call in and say, I got a bet with my buddy. Can you say a word tonight? I'll give you $10. I'm like, oh my, I'll do it for $5. And so a guy, the hardest one, he said, I got this running bet that you won't say Orlando Woolridge. And I'm like, it was the middle of the summer. I'm like,
how much did you get for that?
I think I got $10
in,
or maybe a
of
pitcher
summer?
Of beer. So the middle of the summer. So I think we had a highlight.
Randy Johnson, he's got the same height as Orlando Woolridge.
Somebody made a great catch at the wall. And I just said, wow, it's as if Orlando Woolridge was playing baseball.
I'll give you $10 if during your next Blues highlight package you don't say the word Blues. You got to use
the note.
Got note, other suit, other okay. Other words for Blues.
Local hockey club. FC.
Yeah.
Tell you Blue, what.
St. Louis Hockey FC.
We could probably get this on going on the text line if they say word. But we'd have to be compensated, not by 10. It'd be like $100.
I'd need at least a milkshake.
Yeah.
Well, when I first started in Rhinelander, I would have about 5 minutes to fill. And we're going to get to Biff because he's got our Strickland story. But when I first got there, you'd have 5 minutes to fill at 5 p.m. in the middle of the summer, you know, or the middle of May, whatever. So the hockey playoffs would be going on. So I would show like every hockey game from the night before. But I would always be in a hurry, and I didn't know who half the players were. So every once in a while, I would just work in my friend's name. So cousin John, like, John Gilmore slides it on net, score. And
you're just
nobody
making up
noticed.
Names?
I just added my friends' names. So I would come back to St. Louis and visit every once in a while, and I had mailed the tapes. I would see friends of mine, and they'd say, hey, I saw what you did with cousin John. Can I score a goal one night? And can you clip that off and send it to me?
That's great.
That's when my great hockey acumen began, Frank.
Speaking of hockey acumen, Andy Strickland was in Dallas courtesy of Biff. Last night, Biff joins us now. Biff, give us the lowdown on this.
Hey, Frank, you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And we're also a little hurt because we were available.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, on your hated hockey player, Strickland said to tell you Maltby. Maltby from Chicago?
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yeah, Detroit. I'm sorry. Wrong team. Sorry, screwed that up. Yeah. We're doing well, Frank. The food is really good down here, just so you know.
Are you guys staying there? I thought it was a one. You guys are sticking around?
We're on the tarmac right now waiting to take off. So in a few minutes, the phone will probably cut down. We got Wi-Fi service, but not cell phone service on the jet.
So set this up. You have a buddy that's got a plane, and the three of you took off yesterday afternoon?
Yeah. We was six of us. Goldfinger flew us down here for the game.
Goldfinger, like in Bond? Isn't that?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And did Strick provide the tickets? Did he buy them for you?
No, we bought his. No.
Of course.
And your relationship with Strickland dates back how far?
To yesterday.
What? Okay. So
how awkward
what,
is that?
What has Andy Strickland contributed to the trip?
A lot of entertainment.
That's a first. So how did this happen? For those who missed it, how did you end up, Biff, local wealthy guy, end up on a plane with Andy Strickland to a hockey game in Dallas? How did this happen?
I'm just a local contractor. Well, I'm friends with Goldfinger, and then we got Cookie Monster 002, Jaws with us, and Strickland's friends with Jaws.
So mutual friends. Okay.
Is your nickname Biff among these group of friends, or do you have a different nickname with them? Because there's Cookie Monster, Jaws, 002, Goldfinger. What's your nickname?
I'm Biff.
Still Biff. Okay.
This sounds like some of those recorded Stenger tapes. Everybody's got a code name. And so you,
for our listening audience, Biff really lives a cool, fast lifestyle,
sure
dates
does.
Attractive women, has cool little dogs, lives in a great place, loves sports, goes to all these big-time sporting events.
Yeah, I sponsored your show a couple times, Frank. Remember, we need to do that again.
Yeah, it was good food that day, I'll tell you that.
All right, so where did you sit, and what was it like being in the building for that roller coaster ride?
Oh, it was unbelievable. We were in row six from the glass or the blue chute twice. Perfect view.
I want you to know Strickland's got a crisp $100 bill in his wallet that is very available that I guarantee won't be spent anytime soon if you need a little money, you know, for fuel.
No, we're good. Hey, you know what they had at the game, Frank? They had deep-fried nachos. I mean, it's the bee's knees. I mean, they take the ground beef, the jalapenos, the cheddar cheese, and they break the shell up in crumbs, and they bread it with the crumbs of the shell, and they deep-fry it. You'd love it, Frank.
Wow, deep-fried nachos. I've never heard of that concept.
Yeah. Frank's food needs to go to Dallas.
Yes. Maybe not for game six.
Now, Biff, is Strick within earshot? Could you pass the phone to Strick?
Well, I can ask him. I don't know if he wants to talk to you guys or not.
Are we live on the air or are we off the air, Frank?
You are live on the air, Andy.
I don't endorse, confirm anything that's been said over the course of the last 5 minutes.
So how about it from your perspective? That's pretty cool. You hop on a plane and go watch the game in person. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, Goldfinger's quite the guy. You know, he's just a gentleman. You know, got to know him around the rink a little bit. He's a well-known season ticket holder with the St. Louis Blues. Big-time fan. Wanted to head down there for game three to Old Texas. We headed down there and had a good time last night.
What did you tell Lori yesterday? Honey, I'm going to the game. It's me and Goldfinger and Biff.
002.
Lori's with us. As a matter of fact.
Whoa.
Who's watching the kids?
I'm joking. She's not here.
He only takes Lori to Wisconsin to watch junior high.
Lori's like, wait a minute. I went to Eden Prairie, Minnesota to watch an under-12 tournament, and you get to go to a hockey playoff game in Dallas on a private jet, and I don't get invited to that.
Exactly. We'll bring in.
Well, sadly, we're losing.
He warned us that we would lose him.
Yeah, oh, right. Frank was like, all right, that's enough of that.
We're done.
What an unbelievable day. Yeah. Wow. And to have the schedule, air quotes, that Strick has, that you can just sort of do that. I don't know a lot of people who can just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm going to fly to Dallas.
The rest of us have kind
of
responsibilities. Yeah. What
the heck?
I mean, I guess Biff is not pseudo-retired, but just kind of independent. Strick's got like three kids. He's got eight teams he's coaching.
Biff can probably work on the plane, too, if he has to, right? He probably just needs a laptop to work on location. Strick can't.
Didn't need to. I saw Charlie Marlowe was in the locker room, and I was watching the live picture in the room, and I said, oh, my God, there's Strickland just standing over the corner. And I'm sure the Blues execs are like, what are you doing here? You covering the game? Just hanging out?
Brendan Schaefer was
in
the press box last night.
Tweeting about the Cardinals.
Yes.
So he lives in Dallas.
Him and his wife live near Austin now. So
he was in the press box pseudo-covering it?
That's a good way of putting it. Probably for KMOV, maybe. Yeah.
Does he still write for them?
I think he gets a KMOV credential. But he's in the press. He's tweeting about the Cardinal game. I'm like, just stop.
He loves his ball.
All right. How about Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University?
Tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, in honor of the Blues' thrilling 4-3 win that Biff and 007 and Goldfinger were there to see, how about all five will be Blues-related? Frank, you are Ken Hitchcock, and you caught wind of the David Perron quote.
Oh, yeah. I actually
Penny for
that.
Your thoughts, Hitch. You had to air that soundbite.
Yeah, I'm going to the Hall of Fame. You're not David, so shut the blank up.
And if
that's Hitch. I'm saying it's Hitch.
Yeah, Hitch would say.
But I love the guy.
Hitch would say if you'd scored a few more goals for me, I might still be there.
Yeah, and believe me, Perron has certainly like changed the narrative about him in the postseason and from just playing really good hockey all season long. But let's face it, up until that run with Las Vegas, actually he didn't even score much with Las Vegas last year, did he, in the postseason?
I think he had a good regular season. Didn't he have really big numbers?
Another quiet postseason. But look, Ken Hitchcock's done a lot of things. He doesn't need to be, you know, be slapped around in the media by David Perron.
For those who missed it, it was during the morning skate yesterday, and Perron gets taken off the top line. Berube put Schwartz up there, and Perron said, I don't think we need to be like Hitch around here and start changing line. So it's a great soundbite. You and I see that, and like, that's going to run all day. In fact, I had it in the 9 o'clock to rerun it, even though the game was going on, and ended up dropping it because not often that you get a guy. But also, it was a shot at Berube. You know, basically saying, what are we doing here? In a sense, saying Berube's acting like Hitch, who liked to tinker. And I'm sure Berube's like, hey, Perron, go screw yourself.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares either.
And by the way, I think it worked out. You know,
yes.
They put the best guy to play with the best players.
All right, you are the Stars fan that threw a beer towards the Berube bench. What are you thinking? Apparently, late in the game, somebody chucked a beer and it almost hit Berube.
Yeah,
that's not nice.
Probably not a good idea.
Berube, you know, I have a certain set of skills. I will find you. I will kill you.
Here's a separate text topic. Most intimidating coaches we've ever had. Now, Tony was intimidating because he liked to verbally spar.
Yeah, but in the end, he's a man in his 60s who's not exactly a, you know, a weightlifter.
Right. And
I think Quenneville back in the day looked a little intimidating.
He could be intimidating. I think Pinkel, physically, when he first got there, is a pretty big guy.
Odom.
Keenan,
right,
just because he was such a jerk, maybe.
Nah, he's a squirrel.
Odom's a big guy.
Squirrel.
Yeah, the fact that Odom, you know,
just muscular.
100 tackles, you know, in the Big 12 or Big 8, whatever.
But he's a pretty pleasant guy, so it cuts into the intimidation. Like, Berube, because he played and he beat people up and played a tough game. And he still has this persona.
Scott Linehan?
No. That would be
Spags. He's got it.
Spags, who Michael Strahan once said we used to flip him up in the air and catch him.
Wait, like, I got one.
Hold on.
How about Rich Brooks? I mean, especially at the stocking cap in Pittsburgh.
Boy, the Rams really had a lot of non-intimidating coaches.
Did they have one? I mean, Vermeil was a good coach, but he wasn't
intimidating.
Martz wasn't intimidating.
But he could slice you up pretty good.
Coryell, even though he wasn't big in stature,
kind of had a mean streak.
So competitive and intense. But I think he, in general,
Gene Stallings was a tough guy, but not in,
so sweet as a person.
Joe Vitt wasn't intimidating.
No,
entertaining.
Kind of a wisecracker.
Mike Kitchen, no. Davis Payne, no. There's
Jeff
a lot.
Fisher wasn't.
Scotty Bowman.
No.
Al Arbor.
There's not a lot who sort of encompass what Berube has.
Neither
right
are
now.
Mike Schultz and Matheny wasn't intimidating.
No, I think
although
Berube.
Although Matheny physically could have been the most imposing of anybody.
He may have been in the best shape of anybody.
But you knew that he wasn't going to do anything.
All right, true or false, Robert Bortuzzo thought Lindell, he thought that was Zach Sanford, and that's why he went after him.
Wait a minute. Repeat that one more time.
True or false, Robert Bortuzzo thought that Lindell was Zach Sanford, and that's why he attacked him. Isn't that crazy that is considered by many to be a turning point? I've never. A lot of people have rattled it up. Well, then you had the fight in practice. Okay, why was it a turning point? Because it showed that they were pissed and not going to take it? Or it really brought the gang together?
What other sport is like that considered a reasonable narrative? If it just came out like, yeah, Yadier Molina and Ozuna got in a huge fight in the dugout, and that's what turned things around in the clubhouse one day. We wouldn't believe it. We think they're nuts.
Right, and when that happened, I think Zach Sanford wasn't happy about it. A lot of players are like, wow, that was a little bit much, a little violent.
Then they sent Zach down and gave Bortuzzo an extension.
And everybody said, oh, yeah, that was one of the turning points. Why? What? Why was that? Now, it's one thing if Petro like started screaming at the team, but like beating up a team, I have not figured that out yet.
And you know what? There's really graphic video of that. Did Charlie get it?
I think Dave Sharp, our photographer, was there.
Okay, yeah. And they, I saw that when I was doing a live hit the other day. The Blues have great video of it too. Or maybe
they got it from us.
They did.
They wanted it, and I wondered at the time, is Army going to look at it closer to say, God, what happened with my guys? Because the Blues called and said, can we get that footage? I'm like, are they going to promote it? I mean, I don't know what they've done. I guess they've used it.
Did you think they wanted the video so they could trash it? Because you guys are.
Well, no, we still had it, but I mean, I mean, we didn't. We have a copy. They have a copy. I wasn't sure why they wanted it.
Can you imagine Martin on the negotiating end? Oh, you guys want this tape? Okay, we're not going to air it, but I'm going to need front row tickets for the next.
Okay, these white teeth don't pay for themselves. under the cut.
I got a backup camera. I got to pay for. Okay. And they're like, do you want some special media access? No. I just want some good seats. I don't
media
care.
Media access.
Coverage. All right, Frank, you are a soccer fan. You saw Kerry Fraser, former official, tweeting out saying, what happened? Did a soccer game break out in Dallas? And then Jim Thomas said, the Stars had so many flops, it would have made a soccer player proud. You're a soccer player. Are you a little offended here? So offended, you might take a dive.
I don't know. It's the Majerus line. You are who you are in life.
Isn't it crazy how that's just an accepted critique?
Now, let me ask you. When Jim sent that, I didn't look.
It was just in his game story. He was talking about some of the things that happened, and he said the Stars had so many flops, it would have made a soccer player proud.
I wonder if he would have tweeted that out if the St. Louis FC and the Luligans, if they would have gotten a response for that. I mean, they have to know their sport is most famous for that. In no other sport is there flopping like there is in soccer.
Right.
I bet they were offended.
It did seem to be an across-the-board response for the Stars flopping. Everybody made a soccer joke. And so if you're a soccer, you're like, hey, or do they accept it? I'm not sure.
How about, I know the major narrative has been turnarounds for Schwartz, for Maroon, Bennington's ascent as a number one goalie. How about the Jim Thomas turnaround? After so many years of covering just god-awful sports and losing teams, and now...
Is this his second or third?
This is his second, because last year they missed the playoffs.
Can you imagine that? 50 years with no Stanley Cup, and Jim in year two could get it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fitting.
You know, and a lot of losing with Mizzou and the Rams, but Jim was there for the 99 Super Bowl.
And he'd have to be the only beat writer in history, if it happened, to cover two different championships in two different sports. At least in St. Louis.
Right, that's a great...
Maybe nationally.
That's a great... Yeah, because it's Sports Illustrated. The hockey guy covers the Stanley Cup. The football guy covers the Super Bowl.
But, I mean, like that's in other cities, has there been, like, in Dallas... When Dallas hasn't won a Stanley Cup.
Well, they did with
they did.
Hits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they may have had columnists that covered, Cowboys and Stars.
Beat writer.
Right. I think this would have to be a first. And Jim, with all the losing...
He deserves it. By the way, Danny Hytro texting in, somewhat intimidating, Jim Haslett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a great guy, but yeah.
And because he played the game, and he kind of had like a, he would kind of look at you with disgust.
And then Ron Zook, and I don't really remember enough about Ron Zook.
He had the stud stance.
Love me some Ron Zook.
You did?
The post-Ron Zook era was a little rough. How he left
went
the
to
program.
Rose Bowl with
similar
Zook.
To how he left Florida's program.
Yeah.
Oh, as well.
Bob Ramsey with an interesting one.
Hold on. Rick
Majerus.
Yeah, just from not physically like he could take you down, but because he could just chew you apart. He could be
literally.
You imagine the intimidation factor walking into an eating competition and Majerus unbuckling the belt, ready to go. Well, you said famously he could put it down.
Oh, incredible! But Spoon, Grauer, Brandy Albright, Soderberg, all great guys.
Was Ron Ecker?
He just liked the cheerleaders.
Jeez. How about least intimidating would be like a Lou Tepper, Linehan.
Linehan.
He was a college quarterback.
But he's
crazy?
Number one.
Hey, quickly. Did I ever tell you the Ron Ecker story?
For those who don't know, Ron Ecker was the SLU men's basketball coach in the 70s.
Yes, and he impregnated a 6-foot blonde cheerleader.
Whoops.
Okay.
So first of all, the headline should be, he slept with a co-ed. Frank, 6-foot blonde.
Was he short?
No, he's like 6'2".
Okay.
But real quick. Is every recruit he signed with Kemal's red sauce smudged over that National 11-10. So he'd bring all the recruits down there to eat, and then
they would sign. Sounds like a scandal.
Yeah. So anyway, my dad, who I'd never heard say a cuss word in his whole life, and it's like the most religious guy, sweetest guy ever, when Ecker got fired, everybody knew that part of the reason was he impregnated a 6-foot blonde cheerleader. Except my dad, because he was so straight-laced and never wanted to acknowledge it. Maybe he didn't know. So Ecker sends my dad a letter and thanking him when he got fired for all the nice things he did. And so my dad comes back to my room one day. And even I know, as like a 12-year-old smart-aleck kid, that Ron Ecker impregnated a 12-year-old, like a 6-foot blonde cheerleader.
Not 12.
That would have been the scandal right there, 12-year-old.
Not 12.
So he comes back and he shows me the letter. And this letter is like so nice. And my dad says,
what a gentleman.
My dad says, this is class, Frank.
this is the way you behave. This is a first-class gentleman. And I really wanted to tell my dad, Dad, he just knocked up a 6-foot blonde cheerleader, but I did not have the heart
to tell
him.
So you never told him?
Never told him.
Did Ron Acker and Sloop pay for those meals at Kimo's? I'm thinking maybe the NCAA needs to...
Part of a scandal there?
Look into... Some 70s meals being handed out for free.
Are you old enough to remember David Burns?
Well, I was going to say, wasn't that the David Burns era?
Oh, my gosh. High score. Spectacular.
I went to a couple games at the old arena, and they always had the curtain pulled on both sides because they couldn't fill it. So they had a giant blue curtain that would make it seem a little smaller.
He was unbelievable. And I remember him, I'd be washing glasses, and he would come in, could I see Mr. Cusimano, please? And then my dad would say, sit right there, David. I'm sure it was an NCAA violation.
All right, number five, blues related. Your level of surprise when this stat flashed on the screen. That was Pat Maroon's third career playoff game-winning goal.
Wow.
Doesn't that surprise?
Yeah, that was good.
I think
yeah.
that was on NBC Sports Network. I saw that.
The soundbite we aired.
And I looked up and said, third for a guy who doesn't score a lot of goals, hasn't been around that long, isn't that a high number?
That is good.
Third career playoff game-winning goal. All right, Five for Frank, brought to you every day in the 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by Greenville University.
All right, let's take a short time out. Dr. Rick is going to join us, I believe, when we come back.